Take your Bibles tonight, please, and turn with me to the book of Samuel, 2 Samuel, chapter number 11. If you've been studying the Bible, you know what this chapter is about. This morning, we began talking about the God of a brand new start. We're looking at a new year and thinking about every day that God gives us is a new day. His mercy is new every morning. He's faithful. But as we look at the new year, I think it would be good to think about the thought, the God of a brand new start. This morning, we looked at Peter, the man who denied his faith, and yet God gave him a brand new start. Tonight, I want to look at David, the man who was defiled by his flesh, and yet God gave him a brand new start. Someone said this years ago, and I've never forgotten it. You can choose your sin, but you can't choose your consequences. And David certainly, in this text, he chose his sin, and the consequences were lifelong. I think about my own life. Even now, the Bible said that David was a man after God's own heart. Y'all remember that, right? God sought him out a man. Let me tell you what God did in the office a while ago. Something I've never even entered into my mind before. I've known that verse of scripture for years and years and years. But what God did in my heart, Brother Chris, he underlined a man. He's still a man. A lot of people forget that the pastor's still a man. The deacons are still a man. Your Sunday school teacher's still a man. Everybody that you look up to, amen, and our brothers and sisters in Christ, we've all still got this thing called flesh. If you're from North Carolina, you don't hardly say it like that. Over there, they got flesh. Amen. But anyway, either one of them, the flesh or the flesh, either one, is bad. Amen. Bad news. Let's stand in reverence to the Word of God tonight. Read a few verses of Scripture. This is kind of our springboard for the message tonight, talking about the God of a brand new start and talking about David here. The Bible said and it came to pass, boy, I didn't even realize this in the text, after the year expired, here we are at the end of the year. Amen. And I know the Jewish calendar was a little bit different, but after the year expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Raba. But David, there's a but right there that hurts right there in the scripture. Sometimes it's good news after that word but. But here, David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass in an evening time that David arose from off his bed, walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, "Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" And David sent messengers and took her, and she came in unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her own house. And the woman conceived, and sent and told David, and said, "I am with child." You can be seated. Pray with us tonight. Father, thank you tonight for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, tonight that you are the God of a brand new start. There's a place here in David's life, Lord, that it's a low place. And Lord, you chose to put it in the holy canon of Scripture because, Lord, it serves as a warning to each and every one of us, our Father, that no matter how close we walk with you, Lord, we still are in a body of flesh. We still are prone to wander. We're prone to leave the one that we love. And God, I'm glad tonight that you put this in the Bible. May it be a help to us tonight. God, you said in the New Testament, you wrote these things for our examples, to help us, our Father, to look. Lord, I remember years ago when someone said, a wise man learns from his mistakes, but a wiser man learns from the mistakes of others. He don't have to make them himself to learn the lesson. And God, this is here for us tonight to learn from. Help us, we pray. Save the lost, our Father. Strengthen your people. And God, there may be somebody here tonight that needs a brand new start. Maybe in salvation. Maybe, our Father, in surrender. Maybe, our Lord, they need to deal with some sin tonight and get that brand new start that you offer. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. The message is simple tonight. There's three things that I want to share with you. The first thing is the reason David was defiled. The reason that David was defiled. You know, the Bible teaches us not to walk after the flesh, but after the Spirit. But there's a day, beloved, in David's life when maybe David was just a little bit too idle. David is the king. And I wrote down three things here in the reason that David was defiled. Number one, he was out of place. Let me say something tonight. I'm going to say I didn't plan on saying it, so here it comes. Amen. I believe in the home, the computer ought to be in a public place where everybody can see it. Say amen. I'm going to tell you something right now. I visited in a home before. The dad's here tonight. And I know this tonight, that in this world that we live in, there's a lot of no good on the television. There's a lot of no good on the phone that we carry in our pocket. There's a lot of no good on the computer. Somebody help me tonight. And all it's interested in is feeding your flesh and feeding my flesh. Because when our flesh is being fed, then there is a wedge being driven between us and our Lord. And the devil don't care how he does it. He just wants to drive a wedge, amen, between us and our Lord. He don't want us to be in fellowship together. And so the first thing I see here tonight is that David is out of place. He's up on the rooftop. He's home. He's relaxing while these men are on the battlefield fighting. I want to remind you of something. We're headed into a new year. This is not a picnic. This is a battle. Men's souls are at stake. Boys and girls, amen, right here in our congregation, their very souls are at stake, amen? And we ought to be willing to fight for our children and fight for one another and fight for Bloomingdale, because, beloved, that is the thing that's important to our Lord, is the souls of men. I'm telling you tonight, he's out of place. The second thing I see in the text tonight, and I'm looking at it kind of in the abstract, but I believe David is out of fellowship. You say, Pastor, how can you believe that? You'll not make me believe. Psalm 119 said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Amen. You think David got up this morning, spent some time in the Word of God, memorizing a verse of Scripture? Oh, no, I don't. Amen. The Word of God said, thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Honey, it wasn't the Word of God that led him to look at Bathsheba and lust after Bathsheba and send for Bathsheba. When this servant here, I believe, is a type of the Holy Ghost, and said, hey, she belongs to somebody else. This is Uriah's wife. She's not yours. He was the king. He could have had anybody in the kingdom. And I'll tell you, I did the devotion last week with the kids, and I don't know how this come up in it. But I also said this, Bathsheba could have pulled the shades too. Say amen. Ladies, I'm going to tell you something right now. You ought to be careful not to entice a man. I'm going to say that again. Ladies, be careful not to entice a man. It happens. Would somebody say amen? I'm just telling you, beloved, we need to be careful. Amen. It's a different thing that entices men and entices ladies. It's just different. Amen. A man, most of us would be better off without eyeballs. Would somebody say amen? Amen. And God is telling us here, there's a man who was defiled by his flesh. His name is David. He's a man after God's own heart. But don't forget this, he is a man. He's out of place. And it's not going to be long, beloved. If you get out of place, you're going to get out of fellowship. You remember when, Elimelech and Naomi, you remember when they left Bethel, they left the house of bread. They went down there to Moab. You know what they did? They got out of place. They didn't wait on God. Somebody help me tonight. They said, we're going to go down there. We're going to take care of this ourselves. There's some bread down there. We're going to go down there. And they went down there to what? To sojourn. And then what did they do? They continued there. And then what did they do? The first thing you know, there's 10 years of their life gone. I think about people that get to missing church. And somebody said, when an engine gets to missing, guess what's about to happen? They're going to quit. Hey, amen. I don't wait on my motor to quit, honey. When it gets to missing, say amen. I want to address it. Find out if it's a spark plug or a spark plug wire. Amen. Nowadays, it's something to go, a computer of some kind. Amen. But I'm telling you, beloved, there was a reason that David was defiled. He was out of place. He was out of fellowship. But I want to give you this. Turn over, if you will, in chapter number 12 here. And we're going to look at something here tonight that I believe we all need to get in our heart, get in our mind. David comes to a place here where he's out of excuses. You know, we can excuse our sin. We can say, this would be the common thing among young people. Well, everybody's doing that. Everybody ain't. Somebody say amen. Everybody ain't. That's a lie. Amen. And moms, dads, mamas, papas, we can excuse, amen, our sin. But David came to a place in his life where he ran out of excuses. I'm talking about the God of a brand new start. You know when God helps us to start over? When we quit excusing our sin. Watch what the Bible said here in chapter number 12. And the Lord sent Nathan unto David. How many can go back in your heart and in your mind to a message that God sent through a man of God, amen, that helped you to get back on track? Say amen. Helped you, beloved, when you was headed in the wrong direction. Helped you to turn around and flee the very appearance of evil. Amen. A lot of times, beloved, we will say, well, I want to be careful. I want to flee sin. Well, if you stay away from the temptation, you'll stay away from sin. There's lots of things. There's some boundaries we can put in our life that'll keep us away from the temptation. I remember I was at Liberty Baptist Church years ago, and I told the men when I went there, I said, now listen, men, let's just get something settled right here. I said, if I'm driving down the road, and I said, there's your wife, if she's standing over there with that car, or she's in the car, and I recognize that's your car, and it's raining cats and dogs. I said, let me tell you something. I am not going to get your wife in the car with me and take her anywhere. You say, well, boy, I got some eyes. I got some big old looks at me. And you're like, well, you mean to tell me you'd leave? No, I said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll stop and give your wife my vehicle. She can go wherever she's needing to go, and I'll stay with yours till the tow truck gets there or till you get there. Amen. You say, Pastor, you've lost your mind. You're 65 years old. I don't care how old a man is. There's one thing a man never, never gets over, and that's his flesh. You better watch out for the flesh. Amen. And here's David. He's out of excuses. Watch what he said. He said there were two men in one city. God sent Nathan to David. And he came unto him and said, there are two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds. But the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb. This thing's a pet. Amen. It's a pet deer, Brother Junior. Amen. I got a big old buck out there behind Junior's a while back, and he said, you shot my pet. I hope he raises another pet or two like that for next year. Somebody say amen. Feed him good, Brother Junior. Amen. But the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had brought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children, and it did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter. Now, that's pretty close to a pet, amen. That's pretty close lamb right there. Now, watch. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock. In other words, that rich man got all kinds of sheep, all kinds of lamb. And you know what he did? He took the poor man's lamb, the only one the poor man had. And there's something being illustrated right here. The Word of God said here, watch this now. There came a traveler to the rich man. He spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him. But he took the poor man's lamb. He's telling David this story. And dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled. Let me just say this tonight. God's telling us something right here. It's so easy to point fingers and get angry about somebody else's sin. I mean, David's quick, buddy. He's quick on the draw. The Word of God said here, David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, and the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. There's a reason. David's out of place. David's out of fellowship. And David is fixing to run out of excuses. The Bible said here, and he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity. And David and Nathan said to David, thou art the man. I'm going to tell you what, if you're a child of God, you can say whatever you want to. But there come a time in your life when the Holy Ghost said, you're the man. I'm not talking to the man next to you. I'm not talking to the man behind you. It's you. Amen. And I'm talking to you. I'm telling you, not only did that happen when we got saved, God taught me something several years ago. I know that the Holy Ghost of God must be dealing with a man in order for him to get saved. I also believe this, and you hear me well right here. I believe the Holy Ghost of God must deal with a Christian in order for them to get right concerning their sin. I believe, beloved, our flesh will never point out sin. It takes a holy God to point that out in our life. So here's David now. He is out of excuses. You say, Pastor, what happened to David? He came face to face with Nathan the prophet, and no longer could he bury it. No longer could he hide it. Now he knows. Listen. It's really a happy day when you realize and understand God's got your number. You can't hide anything from God. Amen. You can't do it. David had tried to hide it, but you cannot hide from God. The reason David was defiled, he was out of place, he was out of fellowship, and he ran out of excuses. What is the result of David being defiled? Well, Uriah died. The child died, the baby died. And the Bible said here, I think it's in verse number 10, now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house. Let me take you in your Bible to James. Turn with me to James just a moment, would you please? The book of James. We're talking about the result of being defiled. The book of James, chapter number 1. You probably know this scripture, but we need to repeat it. The Bible said in verse 13, let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. I need to say something right there. That is the verse that many of the cults use to say that Jesus was not God. Are you listening? They use that verse right there because God cannot be tempted, and we know that Jesus was tempted. I've said this before and I'm going to say it again. You'll never rightly divide the Word of God until you understand that Jesus was 100% man and 100% God all at the same time. It wasn't the God in Jesus that was tempted, but he was tempted in all points like as we are, beloved. Listen, yet he did not sin. He was holy and harmless and undefiled. world. Amen. And so you got to learn. Jesus, the Bible said he was weary on his journey. God don't get tired. Say amen. But Jesus took on a body of flesh. But he did not, beloved, lay aside his deity. Amen. That's why he could walk on water. Amen. That's why he could talk to the fish and tell them to get on the other side of the boat. Amen. Y'all hide out tonight while Peter's out there trying his best. I'll call you in the morning. Amen. They threw the net out there and here it comes full of fishes. That's why he could stand up on the bow of the ship and say to the wind and the waves, peace, be still. Because he was God. And yet he was weary. Yet he was tempted. Now watch. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own, what's that next word? Lust. And enticed. That goes along with what I said a while ago. Beloved, listen. Listen, we ought to be careful, every one of us, that we're never guilty of enticing someone else to sin. I was a teenager at one time. Now, where I grew up, northeast of Baltimore, I mean to tell you, there was just some things, if you wasn't doing it, you wasn't cool. Amen? But let me tell you something right now. If you're going to be right with God, you better forget about being cool. If you're going to preach the Word of God, you better forget about being popular. Amen! It's not about being cool. It's not about being popular. It's about fellowshipping with God and walking with God. He said, every man's tempted, drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. This is absolutely what you're seeing in 2 Samuel chapter number 11. Lust is conceived. It brings forth sin. And sin, watch what he said, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And then the Word of God said this, do not err, you bunch of drunkards. Is that what he said? No. Do not err, you bunch of drug addicts. Do not err, you bunch of hippies. No, no, no. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Beloved, this is not for the crowd that don't know him. This is for the crowd that knows him. Say amen. And we need to understand tonight that there is a reason that David was defiled. There's a result of David being defiled. Uriah died. The baby died. The sword would never leave his house. And the book of James tells us the end, beloved, is death. Now, here's the message tonight. That's kind of the introduction. Amen. To get us there. Don't get scared. It won't take long to preach the message. My wife said years ago, said, you never do preach a long message. She said, but them introductions and closings is killing us. Amen. 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 I even got Brother Rick's smile on that one. Amen. I believe he said amen loud enough the chance could hear him. Amen. Watch this now. I want to look at the remedy for being defiled. You see, there cannot be a brand new start without a remedy. The God of a brand new start. Look in chapter 12 again, verse number 13. I'll have to find my place over here. 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse number 13. And David said unto Nathan, I believe these are some of the hardest words in the English language to say. I have, what's the next word? I've sinned. That is going to be the first step in the remedy for being defiled. Admitting. I love the song. I think it said something like this. It's not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Amen. And I believe tonight with all of my heart that God is telling us here in the beginning of this new year, as we end this year and head into another year, that we serve a God that is the God of a brand new start. Now turn with me to Psalm chapter 51. Psalm chapter number 51. If you're familiar with your Bible, you know this is David's Psalm of repentance. We believe this took place, beloved, after the sin with Bathsheba. If we're going to get a brand new start, if we're going to get a new beginning, there's three things that I want you to see. Number one, the reality of the situation. The reality. Listen to me. Sin is real. Amen? Flesh is real. It's real. It's not make-believe. It's real. Amen? And I believe with all of my heart that David came to a place in his life where he was able to face. And the Bible speaks of Jonathan and David. And I'm not going to argue the point or belabor the point, but most people think that Jonathan was David's best friend. But I'm going to tell you this. I could argue whether it was with Jonathan or Nathan. Amen? Is it Jonathan or is it Nathan? Because I'm going to tell you, it takes a real friend to stand toe-to-toe with you. And I believe this, Brother Chris. I believe that Nathan knew that just as easily as Uriah was killed and out of the picture, he could be killed and out of the picture. And you know what? He said this, it don't matter. I'm God's man. I'm God's prophet. I'm going to tell this man what God told me to tell him. Amen. I believe with all of my heart, beloved, that that you need to understand the reality of the situation. And, you know, you've heard things like this. You've probably even been guilty of it. I know I have. I mean, before I learn better. There ain't no need to come in an altar and say, "Oh, God, if I've sinned." Ain't no need. Holy Ghost don't deal in ifs. There ain't no need to say, "Oh, God, if I've got something in my heart towards my brother." You already know. Amen. There ain't no need. You can take an if plumb out of it. Because you know what the Holy Ghost will do? He'll put his finger on it. Whatever it is, he'll put his finger right on it. Amen. In our hearts. And we ought to praise him for that. He'll show us the reality of the situation. But then, if we're going to get that brand new start, the remedy for being defiled, not only facing the reality of the situation, but we need to return to the Savior. I remember a song that I heard years ago, "I Will Return to the God of My Fathers." Has anybody ever heard that song? It's a beautiful song. And the Bible said here in Psalm chapter number 51, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." He said, I acknowledge, there's facing the reality of the situation. I acknowledge my transgression, and he said, my sin is ever before me. I don't know this for sure, but I wonder, Brother Dale, if it wasn't almost a relief when Nathan said, "You're the man." He'd been carrying this now for over a year. He said, "My sin is ever before me." And then God sent Nathan along. There's the reality of the situation, but then he's going to return to the Savior. Look at verse number 4. "Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom." Watch this now. We're looking at the remedy for being defiled. He said, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." Look at verse 8. "Make me to hear joy and gladness." You know what we lose when we sin? We lose our joy. We lose our fellowship. You say, "Pastor, how do you know that?" Well, I know from experience, number one. I know from the Word of God, number two. David, later on in this chapter, is going to say this, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." I'm going to say this. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but if ever there was a man in the Bible that needed to be saved again, it was David. David didn't ask God to save him again. He said, "I need that joy back." Amen. I need that fellowship back. If you've ever had that joy, let me just say this. You can look the world over, but nothing else will ever take the place of the joy of not only knowing God, but serving Him. Amen. Watch this now. I'm just about done. And the Bible's talking about a return to the Savior. And then the last thing in the message tonight, the remedy for being defiled, is a repentance of sin. The Bible said, hide thy face from my sins, blot out all mine iniquities. Watch this. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Let me ask you a question. How many of you are children of God? You know it. You've been saved by the grace of God. You're born again. How many's ever known? You knew it. You were in a wrong spirit. Would you say amen right there? Amen. Most of us know because we're married. It's hard to stay married and not get in a wrong spirit somewhere along the way. Amen. Amen. You say, Pastor, I wouldn't say that. Well, I did because it's the truth. People argue all the way to church, get out of the car and smile, grin ear to ear. Boy, ain't God good. Amen. Family done had a knockdown drag out. Boy, ain't God good. Amen. You know it's the truth. Amen. As you get older, you learn. You know what you learn? It's just better not to get in the wrong spirit than it is to have to get right over it, Brother Brian. Amen. That hurts, don't it? That hurts a man's pride. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something right now. There's a joy involved. When you can look at a brother or sister, look at your mom or your dad, look at your children, look at your spouse, and say, I'm wrong, and I need you to forgive me. What a blessing. What a blessing that is. That's the remedy, the repentance of sin. Now watch this. He said here, cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. I'm not going to go into it deeply, but the Old Testament economy with the Holy Spirit is different than the New Testament economy with the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, the Spirit of God would come upon a man, empower a man, and then leave. But in the New Testament, the Holy Ghost comes to stay. When He saves us, amen, He stays with us. And He's going with us all the way. Then He said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Now I want you to see this. And this really is something that I want to drive home. The God of a brand new start. What's the next word? What is it? What's the next word? The first word in verse 13. Then. Without this brand new start, David's not going to be teaching transgressors thy ways. David's not going to see sinners converted. Amen. But he said, then. What that then is right there is a brand new start. He said, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. That ought to be the desire of every child of God in this building tonight. As we face a new year, that God would use us, the likes of us, to help somebody else to Calvary. Help somebody else to forgiveness. Help somebody else to have that brand new start in their life. He said, deliver me from blood guiltiness. I read that a while ago. I'm not going to get political right here. Long. But I'm going to tell you something. This past administration, these people coming in here that are criminals and illegal and killing people and burning people, they got blood on their hands. David did not stick the sword in Uriah. But he told Joab, he said, go out there, put him in the hottest part of the battle. And then he said this, retire from him. And they left him standing there to be killed, Brother Chris. David might as well have took the sword or the sling or a knife. He might as well killed Uriah himself. Amen. When he said, deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. David had lost his joy. Brother Brian, he had lost his song. Amen. He had lost the power of the Holy Spirit in his life. He had lost that fellowship with God. But you know what? God come along and said, you can have it all back. You can repent of your sin. You can have it all back. Amen. Listen, It would be a shame for any man, any woman, any young person to get separated from the fellowship of God and not want it back and not get it back. Because we serve a God that is the God of a brand new start. Look in verse number 17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. How do you know David repented? Just read the psalm. Read it over and over. He repented. The sacrifice of God or a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Thou shalt, there's that word again, then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering, whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine offer, upon thine altar. There's a text over there in the Gospels where Jesus said, if you come to the altar and there you remember that you have aught in your heart, you remember that? He said, first go be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer thy gift. Amen. David now, while he was carrying all this in his heart, he might have went through the motions. I would say externally, nobody knew the difference. But internally, David knew the difference. And God knew the difference. Amen. Listen, I confess to you tonight that I've stood in the pulpit before and known the difference. And known that He was with me. That He was on me. Say amen. It's one thing to have God in you, and it's another thing to have God on you. Amen. And I've also stood in the pulpit and just, beloved, just trying and struggling. Why? Because of something that was in my heart that I refused to get right with God. Beloved, it's a joy when you get it right with God. When you get that liberty back, you get that freedom back. Amen. I appreciate the Lord, don't you? How many's glad you come tonight? How many believes He is the God of a brand new start? I don't know where you're at tonight, but God does. He knows exactly where you are. He knows if you're saved or not saved. He knows if you're in fellowship or out of fellowship. I personally believe, beloved, this fence straddling that's preached is not in the Bible. Jesus said, you're either for me or you're against me. You're either gathering into my sheepfold or you're scattering abroad. You think about that. Every one of us has the power. I thought about something. I meant to mention it Wednesday night. I think I'll go ahead and mention it tonight. What if every one of us asked God in this coming year, Lord, let me reach one. Maybe it's somebody that, like Sister Sharon, that was out of church and hurt in the church. Maybe it's somebody that's lost. Maybe it's somebody that's just out of fellowship with God. You know, there's a lot of God's people. Their nose is long, and they look down at other people. I never have had that problem, because every situation I've looked at, I've been able to realize this. It's a grace of God. It ain't me. It's a grace of God. You don't know my past like I know my past. It's a grace of God. It ain't me. Let's stand together tonight.